Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that they heard every man speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, and not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speaking our tongues, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. So Peter tried to explain to them in the previous verse, in the next verse. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Verse 15, For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Are you following this? So he told them, they are drunken, but not the way you think. Are you following this? If you are trying to understand what is happening, the teaching of today's service is new wine. God has been doing something in the past few Sundays. And that thing he has been doing is something that has been happening to me in the spirit realm. I just pray you catch it. I just pray that, see, let me tell you something. Don't leave this service on an encounter. I mean, don't leave this service. Decide that you will not leave this service without an encounter. Decide that you're not going to leave this service without something coming on you. Because I came with something. I came with something. And I've come to discover that many times, receiving in a service, there's the place of the man of God, but it's more about the heart of the people. I remember one day I was preaching in Lagos and I was praying for people to speak in tongues, praying that laid hands on one lady and this one fell, that one fell, this one fell. And then there was a particular lady. I was about to pray for her. She said, see, she told me right there. She said, I'm not feeling anything. I don't know what is going on here. And I said, it's not God. It's you. I said, it's not God. I said, if you doubt, it's you. I said, wait. I said, is there anybody around? I called somebody in her presence, laid hands on the person. The person spoke in tongues, felt the power, and she was looking like that. I said, if you're hungry, talk to God. After 10 minutes, I saw her crying and wailing under the power of God. See, we did not come for services to just waste your time. I'm telling you. Are you hearing me? Every service is to change something radical about your life. And Peter told them, these are not drunken the way you think, because it's just very early in the morning, seeing it's about the 10th hour of the day. But you see, I believe that those people who made the comment about the apostles and the disciples that they were full of new wine, even though they were physically wrong, they were spiritually correct. Are you with me? They were spiritually correct because they had received something. Those guys received something. For them to look at them and say, these guys are full of new wine, they saw something physically. Are you with me? So what does wine represent? Wine represents the intoxicating and overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. Wine represents the intoxicating and overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, the concept of using wine to explain this power of the Holy Spirit is not strange to Scripture. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 from verse 36. He says, And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment. Read verse 37. And no man putteth new wine. Are you seeing that? New wine. Jesus said it. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Read on. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. Continue. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and the boats are preserved. See the next verse, everybody. We'll come back to this verse. Have you ever read this part of the Bible and wondered what was Jesus talking about? Have you ever wondered? Today you find out. So like I said, wine refers to the intoxicating and overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. And new wine means you've gotten to a new level in that power of the Holy Spirit. That intoxicating, fresh power of the Holy Spirit. Every genuine Christian, oh my God, let me put it like this. First of all, there is a first layer. When you get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, that's the level of new wine. That's layer number one. Are you with me? But you see, every genuine Christian that got born again and received the Holy Spirit can tell you about an experience of this power. They can tell you about a time in their life when it looks like the power and the glory of God was just overwhelming them, intoxicating them. Every scripture seems to carry fire. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's as if sometimes it can even last for a week. It's as if that whole week, there's something happening around you. You wake up in the night, you are praying. In your sleep, you are seeing dreams and visions. Everything that will happen the next day, God showed you. It's as if nothing surprises you. You are under some sort of glow. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's what I want to revive now in your life. Because, see, they also know when that thing began to decline. Are you following this? They also knew when that glow, that power, that glory of the Spirit. There is a way this thing will be over you. You will function in power like you are a drunk man. You know, when Jacob was praying for Judah in Genesis chapter 49, you can check it out. Genesis 49, Jacob was praying for Judah. At a point, he says, Judah's eyes shall be red with wine. His eyes shall be red with wine. He was talking about dominion, if you study the context. There is a way a drunken man is taken over by the power of what he has drank. He will look at the wall and say, there is a road here. He will say, who are you? You want to try me? Very lanky man. You will be talking to a very huge person. He say, me? A homie? Me. I will show you something. You know why? There is an influence over him. Their neighbor knew why. So they know when this thing begins to drop. They know. And can I tell you something? Even though you get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, if you don't have regular visitations, regular encounters of new wine in your life, your spiritual life and your walk with God, and even the totality of your life will begin to decline. Because let me tell you, no matter how drunk you get today, in 3 days, you are normal. Did you hear what I just said? No matter how high you get today on drink, on wine, in 5 days, you are normal. So, if you don't have regular visitations, regular encounters of this new wine, after a while, it's as if everything just comes back to normal. John chapter 2. John chapter 2 from verse 1. You know what's happening? I'm trying to bring you from just being what you can call an average Christian. What you can call a nominal Christian. What you can call a churchgoer. I'm trying to bring you from that place to into the glory of the Christian faith. The glory and power of the Christian faith. John chapter 2 from verse 1. Everybody read on with me. It says, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Read on. They have no wine. Oh, read on. My wife is not yet come. Read on. His mother said unto the servants, whatever I said unto you, do it. You know, women, they have a way of finding their way. Jesus told her, my hour is not yet come. And she didn't answer him. She didn't say, why now? Your hour is not yet come. Why are you forming for me? She just ignored him and just went to the servants. Whatever I tell you to do, do it. And went her way. Read on. And they were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear out to governor the feast. And they bear. Don't worry. There's a reason we are reading all these things. We will come back here. Are you following this? Read on. Ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, verse 10, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Are you seeing this?
This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. Glory! You see, this story here reveals something very, very powerful in the lives of people. I'm telling you. They started the marriage, and in those days, when they have weddings or marriages, it's not like today. For instance, you can do your wedding without wine. Nobody cares. Are you with me? You can use Fanta. You can use Coke. In those days, without wine, there is no wedding. Are you following me? For instance, what is that thing that if there is not in a wedding, it's like, what's wrong with them? If there's no rice, right? So, but then, if there is no wine, it's like the whole wedding will have to stop. And those days, weddings used to be like between 5 to 7 days. Not one day. So, for 5 days, people are drinking wine. And this time, wine finished. Can I tell you something? You may have heard this before, but look at it again. There are times when, truly, the wine finishes in people's lives. Even as believers. So they have this camp meeting. In the camp meeting, everybody was on fire. Hey, I saw angels here. I saw this one here. I felt fire on my head. Pa, 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 pa. 1 week after the camp meeting. Ah, the glory of God. Hey. Everything your boss will tell you in the office as you are praying in the morning, the Lord showed you. It's as if you knew what to do, where to go, how to go, where, who to talk to. The wine is just... Are you following this? 3 weeks after the camp meeting, you are still growing in the thing. After a while, the fourth week, you know, some people's own, it gets so bad, that even the things that interest them in Christ, after a while, they are no longer excited. They are no longer excited. They are looking for the next movie that will make them happy. Are you following this? Those are signs that wine has finished. Are you with me? Sometimes people's own are so chronic. Their businesses have run out of wine. Everything is going down. They can literally see that it's going down. Their marriage is no wine. It's going down. They are both there, but they are tired. Sometimes, even in their lives, they have no more zeal. They are just going on, but no zeal. They wake up every morning, no drive to continue. But can I tell you something? Jesus gives new wine. He gives new wine. Tell your neighbor, he gives new wine. Many of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. It's sometimes when this wine I'm talking about has ended, it's as though you are alive, but you are not living. Hey God, you are denying me. You know what I'm talking about. It's as if you have come to the end of your life, but you are alive. You can feel it within you that this is the end. And let me tell you something, if you don't do anything, if something does not happen between that time and the next 3 months, I'm telling you, you can get used to it. Ah, that's the bad thing. You can get used to it and 10 years will pass you by. Oh my God. You know, sometimes, have you ever heard me pray this prayer that God will not just add days to your life, but life to your days? Now I pray for you, God will not just add days to your life, but life to your days. When life is added to your days, people will see you and wonder, you are always powerful, you are always excited. You will do in 1 year what takes somebody else 10 years to do because there is more life to your days. Please, this teaching I want to do, take it serious. After this service, go back and practice it. So quickly, how do you get new wine? How do you get new wine? I will try to be fast so that we can practice. Praise the Lord. Ah, I've seen people. You know, I was talking to a young guy and he told me something. He said, my father had dreams. Did you hear that statement? He said, my father had dreams. So, but now, he's in his 60s, going to his 70s. The way he talks as though he wished it came to pass. He had dreams, but he no longer dreams. Everything is gone. 60. But God started dreaming with Abraham by 75. Did you hear what I said? 75. That's when God started dreaming with Abraham. Moses, 80. They need to be in this service. Are you hearing me? Have you noticed that in the Bible, this is not in my notes, but let me share it with you. Did you notice that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there were two people that God filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb? What are their names? Samson and John the Baptist. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, they were filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. What was the instruction that the angel gave their mother? that they should not drink strong wine, right? The wine in those days was intoxicating wine, not this one. That one is just wine bottle with mineral inside. Praise the Lord. So, the angel told them specifically, what could that mean? That means God was jealous about his intoxicating power. He said he did not want anything to compete with that influence over their lives. Are you following this? So, God wants you to be under some sort of influence. He wants your life to be powered by his influence, but not by wine. Not by natural wine, but by the new wine of the Spirit. Any time in your life that your excitement, your drive, the overwhelming influence and intoxication in your life is not powered by the Holy Spirit, something is wrong. It may not be what is in the bottle, it may be what is in the TV. So how do you get new wine? Let's go to Jesus' formula, because he's the one that taught us how to do this thing. Luke chapter 5. Now I will start from verse 33 and you will see some interesting things. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but dine, eat, and drink? So they were asking Jesus, why is it that your disciples do not fast so much? Why is it that it's only the disciples of John that are fasting? Praise the Lord. He says, then Jesus replied to them. He says, can you make children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Verse 35. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Praise the Lord. Then he says, and he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh the rent. It's just King James. Oh, Jesus. He's trying to tell you, if you put the old and the new, everything will spoil. Praise the Lord. Verse 37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new one will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Verse 38. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. So first of all, for you to have new wine, you must have new wine skin. Are you with me? And remember, I told you there is something called the first layer. That this new wineskin is, you must be born again. Jesus was telling them, a time will come when I will be taken away and my disciples will fast. And he was telling them, I have to be taken away so that the redemption can be perfected and my people can be born again. That is when their fasting will count. If you just got what I explained, well, I have to be fast. What makes your fasting different from the fasting that Muslims do? Have you ever asked yourself that? What makes Muslims fast? Hindus fast? Buddhists fast? How is their fasting different from our fasting? Because, you see, as long as you are not born again, you are old wineskin. Are you with me? Fasting is one of God's methods to bring new wine. If you fast, you are trying to get something new from the Spirit, by the time you mix the new wine with the old wineskin, everything will scatter. So your fasting is useless. That is why someone who is not born again can fast and get a demon spirit. Oh, well, it has happened before. It happened in the university. I've had to cast that demon from my classmate who was fasting. He wanted to enter a realm. You are not already in the spirit realm in Christ, but you want to enter a realm. So you must be born again. You must have received the Holy Spirit. That's the first level of new wineskin. There is another level. Even though you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit, you need to be a different person from time to time. I can call it in one word, alignment. So when God wants to give you new wine, you need to become a different person, a new wineskin. The way you are must change. There are some things that, even though was permitted before, with this new wine, the Lord will say, you can't go on like this. You can't go on like this. What I want to bring into your life is new. Are you with me? Are you following me? There are some of you, before 15 minutes prayer, you are okay. In fact, that 15 minutes prayer, you are set to change the world. Who is following what I'm saying? But a time now comes, the Holy Ghost begins to move you. After 15 minutes, I cannot. Before, somebody makes you angry and you are like, I see here, I'm going to change it for you here. Yeah, you want to scatter the person. But now, God wants to bring something new. You want to react and the Holy Ghost is like, calm down. Because you must become new wineskin. You must become new wineskin. You that will just read Bible and pass. Now, there is a deeper hunger for more. Ah, God. The problem is that people used to ignore these things. If you check your life very well, if you check your life, you remember things, these things I'm saying. You will remember when you were just desirous for something. Your hunger for the word of God was changing. It was as if God was trying to mold you into a different kind of person. And from time to time, he would do it. In fact, I believe every 3 to 4 months, God wants to change you to a new wineskin. In fact, it can be so serious, even in your business, even in your marriage. Sometimes you are doing your business in a certain way. You are used to just leave them like that. They're okay. Now, God comes and says, mm-mm. You know it's the Holy Ghost telling you, don't leave this thing like this. You are bigger than this. Ah, who knows what I'm talking about? There are some clothes you wear. Some kind of, not. I'm not talking about clothes that expose your body. I'm talking about clothes that are nice. But a time comes where the Holy Ghost tells you, you are bigger than this thing. Stop dressing like this. Don't dress like this. You are too somehow. Become a different new wineskin. Are you with me? So number one, the born again. Number two, alignment. Become a new wineskin. Number three, desperate desire. Tell your neighbor, desperate desire. Now, open to Luke chapter 5, verse 39, where we just read. Luke 5, verse 39. So under the second point, alignment, you cannot just write Romans 8, verse 5. It says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You can write it there. They that have the spirit, things of the spirit. Let me tell you, even as a pastor, you know, if you're not careful, as a pastor, you can just get carried away. You only want to study the Bible when you have preachings to do. But I've come to a place in God, I have a different adventure apart from ministry. Are you with me? A different adventure with God. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. From time to time, I don't think there is any day that goes that I don't see a vision. I don't think there is a day that comes and goes that I don't see a vision. One of our pastors was supposed to join us in the service from Lagos Church. And the day she was supposed to come, I was pained she did not come. But it was after I heard about what happened. I remember that I had even seen a vision about it. So what happened? She was in the plane coming. As the plane moved 5 minutes, the engine stopped. As in, the engine stopped working. And they told them to come down. You bought the flight. They deboarded them. And they went home. So I was angry. What's wrong with that flight? And I remember that. Early morning that day, I was praying and I saw something. I saw like I was trying to book a flight. And I was clicking on a certain box, clicking on the box. And it was not just entering. I tried and tried and tried and tried. And the vision just cleared. And I was like, what's that? It was when I heard the story, I'm like, oh my God. God saved her from something. Yeah, I don't think that, I can't say some things publicly, but I don't think there's any major event in this country that for the past 12 years that God will not show me. There are some who will not say. And will never say. It's just gist, me and the master, just gist. We just be gisting. And sometimes when I'm getting those, I'm like, what does this have to do with me? You know, when you get an information spiritually, you're like, how will I use it and do anything? And you just know that, okay, you are connected to a divine being and he's giving you updates. Praise the Lord. You know, they are talking about artificial intelligence. I was sharing with them on our old school group, how God had been saying about artificial intelligence more than 5 years ago. There are things I saw that I didn't understand at that time. I remember about 5 years ago, I was in a car. And I knew in that vision that I was at Lekki. And that car had no driver. I was talking to the dashboard. Did you hear what I said? I was talking to the dashboard and the dashboard was replying me. So, and I had a table in the car. I was just studying my Bible and the dashboard was telling me, we're going to turn right now. And there was no driver. So I came out from that dream. It was a dream. And I was like, which kind of dream be this one, Seth? Now, I heard that there are driverless cars. I said, okay. I've been seeing artificial intelligence since. The thing I said about robots. Funny and interesting things. See, let me tell you, hold God now. The world is going to get more. In the next 5 years, this world will be a different place. It's going to be very, very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. Number three. What did we say number three was? Get desperate for new wine. Desperate. Luke chapter 5 verse 39. Luke 5. Now, the people at the marriage, they were desperate for a new wine because the wine had finished and all their guests were waiting. They were desperate. Yes, some of you, you need to get desperate for something new in your life. When we say pray, God. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. Desperate. You know, you talked about fasting. Fasting is one of the ways to get a new wine. You know, there are different types of fasting. There is a fasting that you fast because you just want to leave food. And there is a fasting that you don't know when you left food. Are you with me? There is a way you will be hungry for something spiritual. Natural things will be tasting bitter in your mouth. When you know that it's time for a change, you can feel it inside. It's time for a change. Tell your neighbor, it's time for a change. Tell your neighbor, it's time for a change. Luke 5 verse 39. It says, no man having drank old wine straightway desireth new, for he seeth the old is better. That's the problem. As long as there was wine in that wedding, the people will not desire a new wine. As long as there was wine in that wedding, they will not want something new. They will be fine. We have what? That's why God sometimes will make the wine finish. Some hunger you are having, God is the one that put it. He will allow the wine to finish so that you can desire something new. Some of you, you know what I'm saying. As I'm talking to you, I feel like, am I alone? Sometimes you cannot really explain. You're just hungry for God. You cannot. They ask you, what are you praying about? What are you praying about? Do you want money? You say, no, I know I need something. When you get it, you will know. Are you with me? You can sense this hunger. God has put a new hunger inside of you for something new. The old one has finished. The old wine has finished. It's telling you, boy, it's time for something new. You know, I just remembered. I was talking to my father-in-law some weeks ago in his room. He said something to me. He said, David, I'm looking for something new. So I felt like saying, sir, we want to be like you. He said, David, I want to go deeper. I'm going deeper. There's something new. Because look at what the host of the wedding said. He said, normal people will bring the best one first, then the world one last. But Jesus will bring the best one last, and it keeps getting better. Are you with me? It keeps getting better. It keeps getting better. Glory! Glory! So number one, be born again. Number two, alignment. Number three, get desperate for new wine. Number four, get full of water. Fill your water pot with water. If you get what I'm saying, you understand how this thing works. So Jesus told the servants in the wedding, fill the water pots with water. And then when it is full to the brim, take from it and go and give the guests. Now, question. When did the water turn to wine? Was it when they filled the water pots? Was it when they drew from it? Was it while they were going? Was it when they tasted it? Can I tell you the answer? We don't know. But we know one thing. If Jesus says, fill your water pot with water, it will turn to wine. Are you following what I'm saying? We don't know. But if he tells you, fill this thing up, just fill it up. Just keep filling it. The water can represent the word of God. Sometimes it can represent prayer. The water can represent the spirit. But just keep on filling it. Just keep on pouring water inside. Keep on pouring water inside. And after a while, begin to draw from it. Soon you will discover that what you are drawing is no longer water but wine. That is what happens when we pray. Many of you have explained what I'm talking about. So you came to worship, you came to pray, you were just worshiping. You are pouring water into the jar. Are you with me? You were just praying. You were just reading your Bible. After a while, as you kept on praying, reading your Bible, worshiping, pouring water into the jar, a time it came when you discovered that it's as if something has changed. It's as if the worship has changed. After a while, it's as if there is a new glow upon you. And as you kept on doing it and drawing from it, this thing is no longer, it's getting new. It's getting new. So the problem is that many people do not fill their water pots with water. No wonder the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Get full, get full, get full. Keep on pouring. Oh, the wine has not come, just keep on pouring. It has not turned to wine, keep on pouring. Keep on pouring. Get the water pots filled with water. Get it filled with water. After a while, when you want to draw from it, you will discover there's wine here. Hey, I remember, you know, I look back at my life and my journey with God, and I remember so many things. Those days, people tell me, Pastor David, we enjoy you, we lead worship. In fact, till today, if as at last night, somebody sent me a ministration I did 12 years ago. 12 years ago. He's saying, Pastor David, we need to sing more. We need to sing more. Since 12 years ago. Now, how did that thing start? How did that was so called, when we like it when Pastor David worships, how did that thing start? I used to play keyboard and just worship in church. Play keyboard and worship. Play. I would just go to the church then. I would just play and sing and sing. And for me, it initially was rehearsal. Are you following this? It was rehearsal. It was not, we are not trying to worship. We are just rehearsing. Choir members know what I'm talking about. Have you been trying to rehearse before, and as you are rehearsing, you just break into something? From the worship rehearsal, it's as if you, the water turned to wine. That's what happened. And so I would just be worshiping, and one day, I opened my eyes, and I saw two people praying on the altar. So I now stopped. I said, maybe I was disturbing them. So I stopped, and I was going. Then they stood up and said, where are you going to? Come back. He said, we came because you were playing that thing. I said, oh, okay. So now, you know the problem. By the time I knew they were praying because of me, the worship was not now pure again. I was now singing, which song will I use to bless them? So after a while, we rounded up and they left. And that day, I was worshiping again like that. And a lady walked up to me and gave me £20. I asked her, ma, what happened? She said, if you know what just happened while you were playing that thing where I was, something touched me. Okay. And it kept on happening. By the time I went to Covenant University, one day, I was in my room doing that. And I saw two guys. Bah, 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 bah. They opened the door and they entered. I said, what's the problem? Was I disturbing you? They said, no. You see that thing you are doing? So as you are doing it, my eyes opened. I saw a being with two big angels, with two big wings. Followed you and they entered inside there. I said, hey. Me, I did not see it though. I didn't see, I cannot lie, I did not see it. But the young man said he saw. Another one said, I saw it too. He said, we want to continue this thing you are doing. You see what was happening? As you kept the water pot filled with water, it was turning to wine. Many of you, what you need is to fill your water pots. Fill your water pots. Are you ready this morning? And when you are doing this thing, you are doing it with some level of desperation. Ah! Some people, the hunger comes, they will close it. They will just dampen it like this. Many of you have had this experience before. You woke up in the morning, you wanted to eat, but you couldn't eat. Has that happened to you? You did not plan to fast, but you wanted to eat, but you need another food. You need to be drunk with another wine that is not physical. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just begin to pray in the spirit right now. Talk to the Lord right now.